Is it possible the fever's broken? Data today show the American labor market is the best it's been in 5 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The labor force is swelling, and the unemployment rate in the U.S. has dropped from 7.3 to 7% even. Also for November, the government reported today that payrolls increased by 203,000 people, much more than forecast. Joining us to parse this employment report is Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David. Always good to be here on a good news day.
Yeah, I think it is. Beyond those headline figures, there are a number of areas of strength.
Well, that's right. There are several things I really like in this report. One is that we had the most manufacturing jobs added since February of 2012. The mix favors goods-producing jobs over service jobs, which tend to be higher paid. The work week was up a tenth. Aggregate hours worked is up five-tenths, which typically means more goods and services produced. It really is, across the board, a nice mix.
And the labor force is not shrinking. It's not a case where the unemployment rate seemed to drop because people bailed out of the labor force. I think there's about 800,000 more people overall working.
Well, that's right. Yeah, the labor force rose, and yet employment is up so much that we had a three-tenths drop to 7% in the unemployment rate. Really pretty remarkable month. And by the way, also 3 months, 3 out of 4 months now where we've had 200,000 new jobs.
So interesting. We have about 20 seconds here, Chris. How does this bode for what the Federal Reserve might do with its stimulus program?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things we've all been thinking about all week is, do they taper? And I think this suggests they probably will. That is, it might be time to announce at the FOMC meeting on December 19th that they'll reduce their bond purchases. What's interesting is that the markets, which have been selling all week on that fear, actually are up a little bit this morning. And it could be that finally we've just come to terms with it. That'd be a good sign.
Indeed. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thank you so much for this.
Thank you, David.
Now let's check the latest from the stock market. The Dow is up 122 points, 0.8% to 15,943. The S&P 500 up 0.8%. The NASDAQ Composite up 0.6%. The head of the World Trade Organization is preparing to submit the text of a global trade deal to the WTO membership for what just might be an agreement this weekend. India's trade minister just said that he would endorse the deal after resolving his country's objections to a section covering food subsidies, which had held up a key roadblock for this global trade deal. The on-again, off-again Doha round has been in the works for 12 years. The government of South Africa has declared 10 days of mourning to remember Nelson Mandela, who died yesterday at 95. His passing is being marked around the world, including by those who, on college campuses in the United States and beyond, fought South Africa's oppressive system of forced separation of races. Douglas Allen is a professor of philosophy at the University of Maine. In the late 1970s and early 80s, he helped push his university to sell its stocks in companies that did business in South Africa. While Hampshire College in Massachusetts gets credit for being the first to fully divest, U of Maine was in the first 10. Professor Allen, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Tell me about how you, fellow faculty, students, made the argument. It was a tough fight, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a difficult argument, and it took years of work, research, lobbying, demonstrations, sit-ins. The key argument with the Board of Trustees, their initial point was that their sole responsibility was to increase the return on investments, and they could not get into any moral or social concerns.
So what did you say back?
Well, I think a key argument we made was to try to find an exception. And the one we used was Nazi Germany. Would the University of Maine system invested, for example, in a German munitions corporation? And, of course, they said we would not. That would violate everything for which the university stands. Well, once we had that opening, then you could say, okay, then it's not an absolute. Let's discuss apartheid.
I remember another one of the criticisms of the divestment movement at the time, in real time, was that you're applying essentially economic pressure against South Africa, and the effects of that pressure would be felt by ordinary South Africans, black South Africans. And you must have had to process that and considered that as you move forward.
Yes, that was, of course, a lot of pressure. What changed this from many other movements was we were able to show solidarity with the African National Congress, the black unions, mine unions, leaders. In other words, there was a lot of solidarity where black Africans were saying, we are willing to suffer because we already are dying, being in prison, suffering. And so they called upon us to show solidarity by not investing in the apartheid system.
Douglas Allen is professor of philosophy at the University of Maine. Professor, thank you.
Thank you very much.
In South Africa, there will be days of private mourning. The first major public event will be a big memorial service early next week for Mr. Mandela at the soccer stadium in Soweto. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.